Hi friends, welcome back to Sit with Brit. I am here today with Chris Creed, who helps podcasters, course creators, and coaches create and launch powerful high-ticket offers by leveraging their existing content. So if you have any content right now, like in a course or something like that, and you want to leverage it even more, you're going to want to listen to this interview because Chris really knows his stuff. So welcome, Chris. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Brittany, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. So thank you.
Yes. So funny story, Chris reached out to me to get this interview scheduled. And he thought that we were much more popular than we are because our calendar was broken. So he was like, wow, you're booked out for 2 years. I'm like, no, that's a glitch. But we looked really popular for a second.
Hey, look, I was fully in. I was like, dang, man, that's awesome. I'm happy to wait.
So Chris and I met at a mastermind, Digital Insiders. And were you in Digital Insiders like from the get-go, or when did you join that?
No. So I joined in 2019, and I never forget like being, so I had a conversation with a friend who was in there, and she was like, the people in here are awesome. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm sold. But then I was waiting to like hear somebody else pitch their mastermind. And once I heard, I was sitting in the room listening to this person pitch their mastermind, which is about, it was a pretty similar offer. Immediately I left and filled out the application to apply for Julie's mastermind instead. And that was how that happened. But yeah, that was in 2019, like right before the pandemic. And honestly, like being there during that whole season was really helpful. And like we got to meet, and I got to meet so many people. We all got to go to a conference together right around that same time. And yeah, there's nothing quite like it, being in a big group of people who all have, you know, like-minded and the same kind of goals.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us a little bit about what was going on in your business at that time, because I know we want to get into your journey a little bit. I think it'd be really helpful for people to hear some of your mindset shifts, like we talked a little bit about in the pre-interview. So tell us about that, where you were in your business first.
Yeah, at that point in time, so I was running a boutique digital marketing agency, building funnels, running Facebook ads, pretty much doing everything. I was doing it myself, and also hiring out like freelancers for copywriting and creative and things like that from time to time. And I'd hit like and I think this is really common for people who run agencies, they hit like this ceiling where they realize, okay, I have to grow this team and bring on someone, like I need another person in order to go to the next level, or I need to just be cool with like coasting through here. And for me, there was another factor of it, like I'm really passionate about creating things and putting things into the world that help people. And like, I want to do both, right? And I knew that was like a tough thing to balance. And I'd only known really one person in this space that I knew personally who had done it, and it was Julie. And so that was why I joined, was to help balance that dichotomy of like scaling this agency up so it can be something that's, you know, really getting traction, or, and at the same time building my own personal brand and courses and info products on the side. Quickly during the first part of that session, I just stopped. Here's what happened. Actually, I lost my biggest client. They gave me a phone call and were like, hey man, like we just got to part ways. It's not, you know, it's not working out anymore, which is always a tough conversation to have. Also very common with agencies, by the way, if you're an agency owner and you haven't been through that yet, it's coming. Just don't worry about it. It's okay. It's normal. So I got that phone call, but then all of a sudden, like right away, I just lost a $40,000 client. It wasn't going to renew. It's like, that sucked. And I started to feel this like drain, and I just really felt this push to go into the info product side. And I didn't know what that even looked like. And then I went to this conference, FHL, Funnel Hacking Live, and I was sitting there in the room, and a guy named Russell Brunson's on stage, and he's talking about stuff. And he throws up this slide that says, he's talking about the hero's journey and telling stories about big epic movies and stuff. And he says, a lot of times in these movies, the hero is called to a journey that they don't quite understand. And when he said that, I closed my eyes, and like I had like tears welling up in my eyes, and I was like, what is happening right now? And I opened my eyes and I saw this one guy on stage one human being on stage speaking to 4,000 people in the audience. And I saw in my mind's eye those 4,000 people standing up on their stages speaking to another 4,000 people. And I witnessed the mass impact that was happening right in front of me. And I decided in that moment that I was going to stop pursuing the agency work altogether, full stop, completely done, and start building a business that helped other people stand up on their stages so that they can create impact and so that they can help people and live the life they want, like, you know, make money and stuff. And I just became really passionate about that. And the mechanism I was going to use for that was helping people literally build high ticket events that they can, you know, go and sell out and provide a lot of impact for people. And there's a lot of reasons why for that. But anyway, then the world shut down and events were no longer a thing. And I freaked out and kind of floundered for a few weeks. I think we all did. And then, you know, started pursuing virtual events and did virtual event consulting thereafter for podcasters, creators and people who were just trying to figure out the new world and not really knowing exactly what to do next and how to actually do virtual events that actually help people, you know? And that was really fun. So that's kind of the journey. We should probably pause there and reflect a little bit, but yeah.
So was that FHL 2020 that mm-hmm. you had that moment? Okay. I think I remember talking to you. I think we might've like caught up and got lunch or something. Cause I feel like I remember you being like, I'm done. Like, this is the moment, the line in the sand.
Yeah. It was crazy. I have never experienced that type of like, I don't know, like an intense knowing, you know? And it was really cool. And I honestly, that's the power of events. I tell that story as an example of what happens when you get out of your norm and step into an environment where you are likely to change. And when we do that for our clients, just like Russell did for all of his clients, then we are literally facilitating an opportunity for change for people. And that's what happened to me. So.
Yeah. So when you made that decision and you decided, like, all right, I'm going to just full stop on the agency and go into this. Did you have enough clarity to bypass any mindset stuff that came up, or did you deal with like, this isn't quite logical, or like anything that was coming up for you? Cause I know I had an agency for a while and pivoted, and I had a lot of like, who are you to stop doing this? And like, you know, there's money coming in from this. Why would you cut off this part of your business?
Yes. The answer is yes to all that. I had massive hurdles to overcome. And it came in waves. Honestly, it wasn't all right at once. It came with every single thing that I did there from there on out. It wasn't like, I would love to say that I just like made the decision and I was fully like ready, right? And everything was good. And like, I had a plan to make money. I didn't have any of that. I just knew that like, this was what I wanted to do. And I had the skills to promote, right? And to market and all that stuff and how to talk about it. But it wasn't comfortable at all. And like, at the time, we were considering moving to Colorado, my wife and I, and our I think he was 3 years old at the time. And I mean, it was a very uncomfortable thing, but like, you know, my wife and I have always been entrepreneurs. So we kind of have that, we understand what it's like to experience that discomfort when you're starting something new, but that's what it was. But it was just like that thing all over again. And I had just kind of gone through that over the year and a half of building the agency. And it was like, okay, well, we're shutting this down. We're going to build something from the ground up again. And it's never comfortable. And luckily I hired a mindset coach to walk me through that, because I was like, I was experiencing, you know, but like anything that those old patterns, just like you said, who are you to do this? You're not good enough to do this. Like, what are you even doing? You're like, you're not good enough as good as so-and-so. Like, so why are you even standing up trying to do this? That was a constant loop. And I just had to work to push past it, I think. And it wasn't like a grind through it. It was like, I'm going to move through this and try my best not to let it stop me.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting because a lot of people do that. We get this mindset block that pops up and we think that we have to like full stop and deal with it. And then when it's dealt with, it goes away 100% and then you keep walking. And anybody who's done any mindset work is like, no, that's you just get used to it. You just notice that it's there and you're like, okay, hi, that's the old fear. I'm going to keep walking down this path.
It would be like training to become a marathon runner and expecting not to get tired at some point during the race. Like it's going to happen. You're going to experience that. Like, or I'm not going to sweat. Like it's going to happen. You're going to get sweaty. You're going to get hot. You're going to get tired. But that's always going to be the case when you're in the game. Like you're going to experience that. And like, yeah, I mean, I remember having a conversation with Helen about that, about like this thing that you've always experienced. Like, I actually, this is a funny story. So I had some childhood stuff that I went to therapy for like a full year, I think, like consistently every week. And then at that point, it had just hit me all at once, and I had to deal with it, right? Like it was one of those things where I have to deal with this, because I didn't know it was impacting my life that much. And then I remember going through that process though, and getting to the end, the quote unquote the end of it, where I finally felt like I was feeling better. And I went to my last therapy session, and I said, "Hey, would you mind to like send me like a some sort of certificate or something saying that I've completed, like that I'm like done with therapy." And she totally did. But obviously, like now what I know now is like, oh, I'm always going to be reminded of those patterns, those things that are those patterns that come up are going to be reminders of that. And it's like, well, I'm just going to be better at dealing with them. Is that kind of how you've experienced things too?
Exactly. Yeah, you kind of like therapy and mindset work to me is like building up your toolkit. And so like, past triggers are going to come up or things are going to remind you of it because our body like memorizes feelings. And so when something happens, you're like going to automatically react sometimes, but you get like the tools either cognitively or whatever it is to recognize it and kind of like put it back in its corner in a way. So yeah, that's exactly what I've experienced.
Yeah, I didn't understand that when I was first told that like we're going to build all these tools. I was like, awesome, we're going to build these tools to make this go away forever. Got it. That's awesome. And that's not it. It's more like, well, we got a new pair of running shoes, so we're going to be able to run again today, right? It's like
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think that's talked about enough because there is like people wait for the line to be drawn or they wait to cross the finish line in therapy. And sometimes, you do, and that's, you completely work through something. It happens, but more often than not, our nervous system, it's like a muscle memory thing. Like our nervous system is accustomed to freaking out in change. That's like a biological, humans don't like change because there could be a tiger around this corner and you don't know.
Yeah,
So
right.
like it's something innate in us.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I've noticed specifically, we have conversations about this often, like that over the past, I don't know, we moved to Colorado for 2 years, basically took a 2 year vacation. It was not intentional. We were going to stay there. Then moved back here to accept a position here in Franklin, Tennessee. And there are times when I'm sitting here and like in like doing work or launching something or putting something out new, and I will feel totally fine. Like I've got this. Like I know what I'm doing. And then something will happen, and my body feels like it's experiencing discomfort, but nothing's actually happening, and I feel fine. And I've the concept of the body keeps the score, like that. I never really understood what that meant, but as I become more aware of myself, I've noticed that more and more of like, oh man, this feeling of anxiety is here, and I'm not really even, feeling anxious. Like I just, my body is feeling it,
Yeah, that's very common with high performing people, I think, because we have really high active brains. And so we can deal with a lot more stress in our brain than in our body. And I know for me, if I look down and all of my nails are chewed, like even if I don't feel stressed, like if you ask me if I'm stressed, I'll tell you no. but like I'm bleeding. So like, obviously, you know, my body is nervous, you know, and it's funny because we do like, you'll get sick to your stomach long before your mind will say, okay, we're freaked out. I noticed that with high performing people.
100%. And what happens to me is I have this pen in my hand right now. And sometimes I'll look down and the pen is just destroyed. Like I've broken it and I don't even remember doing it, but it's this like nervous habit, you know? So I'm going to set that down now. But anyway, yeah, I've definitely experienced that through that whole process. Like, and still to this day, I mean, like you said, it's not going away. It's just, I'm becoming more equipped to deal with it as it comes. And sometimes it's, you know, too much. Sometimes it feels like it's too much and I do have to stop. But then it's like, I think that's just the human condition. Like we have these things and it can't be ignored. It can't be ignored, but I would rather not ignore it. I'd rather be able to be equipped to deal with it for sure.
Yeah, totally. So you're going through all of this and you decide like, okay, I'm going to go all in on events. And this is FHL 2020 was in February of 2020. So we were like 3 weeks out from the world ending and we didn't know. Tell us
just what living it up. It was like it was like literally the party at the end of the world. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Because we were just blissfully unaware. I was anyway, I had no idea. I floundered around for a while and then just decided that I was gonna continue with that message of like empowering people to stand up on their stage, right? And to really be bigger than they're being right now. And it's not like a force thing or anything. It's just like, no, you can literally just stand up and this is going to be, you know, a more impactful thing if you choose to do that and stand up on your stage. And I just switched that into virtual. Like I literally just said like, here's how to, you know, create and stand up on your virtual stage. And obviously during that time, there were a lot of people who were looking to do virtual events and not really even sure how to do it. And what I do is I would help them and still do help them organize it in a way that is powerful, because I don't know if you guys know this. I know that you do, Brittany, but like there's a sequence of events that happens at an event that is intentional. And it doesn't matter if it's a sales event or where they're going to be selling something at the end. It's about impact and how can we really show up and be here for these people who are being in the room. They hire entire companies to come in and make sure that the room feels a certain way. And that's not just like for, you know, companies like ClickFunnels or, you know, Tony Robbins or anything like that. It's a thing, right? And you can do that in a virtual setting to a certain extent. And it's just about intentionality. And so that's what I would do. I would help people organize their event so that it felt a certain way. And so they would be able to leave that conference or the online event or whatever with a sense of change and inspiration and action so that they could go forth and actually be better because they attended versus just coming on a Zoom call, right? Like it's different. So it was fun for a bit to transition into that. But honestly, I'm sure all you guys feel the same way. It's like, I am burnt out by virtual events. I think there's a place for it. And I don't think it's going to go away now because like, it's like a thing. And we've realized, you know, well, we can sell more tickets if we have a virtual event, but it's like, man, there's so much more impact when we're all together in a room and in person. And that's why I'm, you know, excited to get back into helping people do that. But yeah, it was a trip to have everything shut down. And I definitely freaked the F out for sure.
Yeah. Like seriously, what timing? Like I'm listening to your story being like, that was like, you have this profound, you know, vision and like such clarity, like you've never had that before. And then something profound that we've never experienced in the world happens. That's like in direct opposition to crazy. What you're seeing.
Crazy. Totally nuts. Another thing that we always talked about, and my wife and I were wedding photographers for like 13 years before this. And that was honestly part of the conversation of like, hey, look, worst case scenario, we go back, we start shooting weddings again, because weddings aren't going to get stop happening. Like there's nothing that could possibly happen in the world that would make weddings stop happening. And then the pandemic happened and it stopped that too. So it was like this perfect storm of like chaos And luckily, like, and we talked a little bit about this before the show, but like this idea of helping people stand up on their stage so that they can create the pin thing again, so that they can create impact and sell more stuff so that they can help more people. Like, it just kept nagging at me, like just like a banging, resounding drum inside me that was just like, go, go, go. And, you know, there were seasons where I had to just ignore that because, and one of those seasons I just got out of, honestly, because I started working for another company. It was a direct response marketing company. And I learned a lot as a, you know, a big player in the industry. And we, you know, I had a lot of fun in that, but the purpose of doing that really at the time was, well, this is going to be more steady. It's going to move us in a positive direction because like I was looking for a path and I was also ignoring that drum because of what it takes to make something move from nothing. Like, it's easier to keep going than it is to stop and go and stop and go. Right. And that's what I was in the path of doing. And it was because I wasn't really doing what I wanted to be doing during that stretch of the weirdness of, you know, pandemic. And anyway, so I ignored that. And then, you know, now having moved on from that, it's like it was this immense relief that came over me when that ended. And now it's like, all right, let's go full force. Like I'm excited to wake up every day. I'm excited to work on this and just be present with it. And I know that those feelings are going to fade. It's like, you know, being married to an idea, like the feelings of excitement are going to fade. And the trick I think is to just stay with it, like to stay present with it. And that's what I'm doing right now. And I don't know if that answers your question at all, because I forget where I feel like I kind of went on a tangent there, but it's that the idea stayed with me even through me just completely ignoring it. And I don't think that's always the case. I think like sometimes ideas come and go, and it's the ones that stay with you. I actually heard Chris Guillebeau say this. It's funny. I just saw a video that I shot randomly. I was at an event and Chris Guillebeau was speaking. Chris Guillebeau wrote the book called The Art of Nonconformity, and a lot of other books. But anyway, brilliant guy. He runs an event called the World Domination Summit. It's pretty badass. But anyway, he said, like, you have an idea and you can be excited about it. Like, if you're excited about it for the day, a day after, it's like, okay, cool. If you're excited about it 10 days after, that's, you know, getting somewhere. If you're still excited about it, like 3 months after you first had the idea, that might be something to really dig into. And I think, like I said, not all ideas are like that, but this was one of those things that just would not let me go. And I'm so grateful for that because it has turned into something really exciting.
Yeah. I think one of the great things that you said is seasons. Like you mentioned seasons. And I know that that's the case with me too, because I had the idea for something mindset and mental wellness related. I didn't even really know that mental wellness was a term yet. I was just like something around anxiety and mindset. And it just kind of lasted while I was working full-time at ClickFunnels, while the world was shutting down, while all these things. And I think it's easy to, as an entrepreneur or someone who's a high performer, to think that you're failing yourself or you're failing your people if you're not like day two taking action. And, you know, like we've all heard those like entrepreneur stories where it's like, I slept on my sister's couch and ate ramen noodles until the thing was, you know, and that's cool. That's some people's paths, but other people have families and have, you know, things that we need to do in order to sustain ourselves. And we have sometimes to collect other skill sets and stuff before, you know, the experience that you went through with the company you're working for and all these things, like you were collecting skill sets and you were building life experience and you were getting new perspectives and stuff that you bring in to this idea that was kind of just laying low for a while, you know? And so I think that's important to mention because you can often feel like a failure if you're not acting like on day two.
Oh yeah. And honestly, like, you know, and I don't know, I know that you've experienced this, but this taking this position, which was an exciting, like you're going to pay me to show up and just do exactly what I love to do. Like, okay. I mean, that's fine. I will let you take me off the, you know, off the market to make that happen. Yeah. And, no, I mean, I was really grateful for that experience. And like you said, like it was all building these experiences and learning experiences throughout, but still like you said, like even there was a little hint underneath me that's like, you're not doing what you're meant to be doing. Like you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And sometimes I would let that overtake me as like a, well, man, I am failing. And it's like, well, hang on a second. Like, no. I'm providing everything for, you know, like we're really showing up in the way that I need to show up right now. And that's okay. It's going to change. Right. And so like, I think it's weird. Like I'm hesitant to like talk about that because I don't like want to discourage people from like, I'm really passionate. Like one of the things that I value more than anything is my own time freedom, and, you know, working full time for someone else that goes away. And that was the hardest part for me. So like, I don't want to discourage someone from not doing that, like doing what they need to do. However, I know that for me personally just nagged at me like crazy. And like I said, like immediately after, it just like all of that just flooded right back into me. Like, okay, I know what to do. I know what I'm meant to do. Let's go. But yeah, the season was necessary for sure.
Yeah. So tell us now about what you're doing. So you left that position and you had this like fire and you're like, all right, now it's game time. Like I've sowed all the seeds that I needed to sow and this idea is still here. So now what's going on?
Yeah. So, you know, throughout the whole virtual event thing, there were a lot of entrepreneurs that I got to work with that were also building webinars. And, you know, for lack of, you know, let's not split hairs over it. A webinar is a virtual event. A virtual event is a webinar, right? So it's like, well, and webinars have been around for a long time. And a lot of entrepreneurs have built massive businesses off of webinars. And they're not going away. And the skill set of being able to build a webinar is incredibly valuable because it's just a sales presentation, right? And so like the cool thing though about how most of us in this space, if it is a sales presentation, like a webinar, it's more like a conversation because you do the work to figure out what is holding them back, what kind of questions they might have, and you just kind of answer them all in that really, you know, hour and a half presentation, which is pretty cool, but it's also a skill. And what I noticed throughout that all of last year, pretty much when I was working with these entrepreneurs, is that people, these really talented experts in their fields, like I would listen to them talk and I'd be like, you know so much, like we just need to get you in front of people so that you can do this. And then I'd watch the webinar and I would be like, wow, like it's not translating and I don't know what it is. And so what I started to do is like analyze the presentations. And so like 10% of them would just work first time. They show up, they would do the presentation, they would do the pitch at the end, they would get sales. I was like, that's great. But 90% of them just didn't work straight out of the gate, which is normal, by the way. Like, I don't know. It's normal for it not to work straight away, especially on the webinar. But what I noticed is those 90%, like they just hadn't thought about how they were going to deliver the content, the actual thing that they were teaching, right? And they didn't know how to transition into a pitch and how to deliver a pitch on camera or like on a slideshow in a live format, basically on a stage. And so what I did is I recorded myself going through two of my own webinars, one that was selling a course and then one that was selling a high ticket book a call with me. And I say selling, what I just mean is like, you know, pitching a call with me at the end. And I recorded myself like analyzing, doing kind of these two webinars, and I started sending it to people. And it was just like, oh, this like aha moment for them. It wasn't anything I did. It was like just what I've learned from everybody. And that just immediately like turned it around in their mind. They started to get more traction on their webinars. And the cool thing was like the people who who I talked to after that, I would show them that first and be like, here, like, watch this before you do your webinar. And then when it came time to do the webinar, they didn't even think anything about it when they got sales right away, right? It was just normal to them. Like, yeah, why wouldn't I get sales? But they understood how to form the presentation, right? And most of them were for low ticket offers or low ticket course offers, but it started to work. And so that's what I'm doing right now. And specifically, full disclosure, because I love talking to those people who have something to sell. Like Brittany was saying earlier, like course creators, podcasters, people who are making stuff and putting it on the internet and standing up on their stage. I love talking with them and helping them, create things that are even more impactful to sell. I actually created a 16-minute presentation that is all about that process I just described and what was missing specifically and the three things that needed the most attention in those webinars and how to actually do it yourself. So that's what I'm working on right now is just promoting that super simple offer. Yeah.
It is. It's very simple. I was watching most of it before we hopped on our call, and there's something so beautiful about simple in the online world, because the online world tends to overcomplicate things. We want to unpackage and we want to use fancy plugins and we want to make the slides gorgeous with animations and all that, which can work and is great, but that's like the cherry on top. And I always think back to like Dan Henry, it might've been FHL 2020 or 19, but he had the whiteboard on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just like, he had a marker and the whiteboard. And he was like, if you can't get your message across with a pen and paper, you can't get it across with gorgeous slides. And that's always stuck with me because that's a copy principle too. If you can't say it in two sentences, then you can't say it in 15. Like you have to know your message so intimately. And it seems like that's where you're going with it when I was watching that video, which is awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what it's all about, is like being able to be intentional about what you're actually saying. Like, it's not just about being like, you're an expert, but the people who are watching your thing are not experts. And they don't know that they don't know this. This is really important. They don't know that they already know the solution. They already know the solution to the problem. They've heard it before. I promise you they have. They haven't heard it the right way. And they haven't heard the right story that's going to break down the belief that is stopping them from taking action. And it's very real. And that sounds like, well, that can't possibly work. Okay, that's fine. You can believe that, but it's absolutely true that is the case. And it's not just me who's saying that. It's everyone who's ever sold anything, So yeah, I mean, it's really simple. And I think we get overcomplicated. It's easy to get in your head around that stuff. And it can just be really simple. So.
For sure. And another big benefit, I know we wanted to talk about this too, is when you're doing something simple like that, you can make changes and you can test things. And I think a lot of people, once you have overinflated your presentation and you've built all the pages and you've paid the copywriters and you've done all the things, if you now want to go test a new hook or test something different, you're making changes on 15 different things in your emails and the automations and all the stuff. Whereas if you're going more of a simple route, and if you're really from the get-go thinking, how do I want to present this? You're able to test things, and testing things is normal and it's good. And it's how you tweak and get even, your message to even more people.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've worked with big companies who have massive advertising budgets, who have a massive sales team behind them. It is all about testing. We test things on a daily basis. Now, when you and I who are running very, very lean, like for me, it is just me sitting here in this kitchen every day going to see, okay, well, like how many people hit the landing page today? Okay. How many people opted in? How many people watched it? How many people bought and like seeing how those numbers are going on a day by day basis and making decisions based on the data. Like I know, like being able to see in a position where there was so many changes being made, but also they were being made on data, not emotion. Like and you can't make data driven decisions if you're not making smart changes that are easily trackable, right? And so, but I, at the same time, it's like I was just telling you before, it's like, am I sending them to this page or am I sending them to that page? Like, I don't know, I'm making it up as I go and I'm gonna do what works. Like, and I think it can be that simple too, of like, I don't know why it worked, but it worked. Hey, I'm good with that, you know? And I think that's partially what we have to do as well, so.
Yeah, 100%. I've worked with very big companies and it is to an extent making it up as you go. You're using data and you're figuring it out, you know? But I think people are scared to admit that, but that really truly is what it is. That's what we're all doing. Yeah, we're figuring exactly. it out.
Like, hey man, this might work. Let's see, you know? And yeah. You can't be scared to do that. But again, that something my friend Renee told me this a while ago. I said, I was talking to her about like this post and I was like, I'm going to make this offer in this post. And she was like, you're acting like it costs money to post, man. Just post it and then just post something else and then just post something else. Like, you have unlimited budget on what you can post on the internet, right? It is totally free to test all that out. And like, I think we get locked up in that feeling of like, hey, it's gotta be perfect this time. Like, yeah, no, it might not work that time. So let's do it again next time.
Yeah. Renee's amazing.
Yeah, she is. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense, Renee.
Okay. So where can someone go find this 16-minute video?
You can go to creedclass.com. So my last name is Creed, like the band, creedclass.com. And like I said, it's just really simple. You can go check it out. I feel like it's helpful specifically for people who either they have run a webinar recently and it didn't work and they don't know why, or for someone who is just about to like put a presentation together and they want to make sure that they, you know, put their best foot forward and try to knock it out of the park the first time. There's very simple things that you can do to make that happen. And that's what I talk about in the video. So it's creedclass.com.
Okay. Awesome. And where can people find you online? Are you active on Instagram or Facebook or where?
Instagram mostly, but also on Facebook, but it's just at Chris Creed on Instagram. And I think on TikTok, I'm at Chris M Creed. And I have posted very few things on there, but I'm going to amp that up too.
Awesome. Cool. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming. This was super, super helpful. And we're really, really thankful to have you.
Thank you so much, Brittany. It's been good chatting with you. And we should do it again for sure.